Hi, this is Todd Friel, Executive Director of Fortis Institute. Before we get to the podcast, might I encourage you to please join us in not retreating? Perhaps you've noticed in your news feed a lot of pressure on Christians to retreat, whether it is in the form of legislation, in persecution, or just outright bias. We are determined to stand firm, not water down the truth, and continue to make resources that encourage and equip the saints to defend and share their faith. We also love to support and undergird local churches, and we are determined to do so. And right now we have a matching gift campaign, which means if you join us now as a gospel partner, your gift will double. Would you please consider joining us on our mission as we are determined to not retreat? FortisInstitute.org/donate.
Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. We are continuing to consider the church report card, right? Not just your schoolwork, not just what you did on your best day in school. You know, getting those good report cards was such a thrill, and getting the bad ones was so ominous. I was one that experienced both of those feelings very acutely. My kids have done much better than me in their schoolwork. Sometimes I would tell my kids stories about my grades and things like that. And my wife would like rush me out of the room quickly, you know, because she was a much better student than I was. And so she instilled her good work ethic. But I think sometimes when it comes to churches, we give different grades than the Lord would give. What does the Lord think about your church? You know, there's a book that was written by Richard Mayhew, who was the dean of the Master Seminary when I was there. We all called him the Admiral because he had a very fine Navy career before going into ministry. But he wrote a book called What Would Jesus Say About Your Church? And it was an incredibly provocative title. And basically what he did was he studied Revelation 2 and 3, the seven churches there that are specifically addressed with kind of mini messages from Jesus himself to real local churches in the first century. And it is just a provocative thought, isn't it? A provocative subject, because I'm suspicious. A lot of people kind of assume, you know, as long as I'm good with church and my family's good with church, and especially if the Bible's being preached, then, you know, Jesus is fine with it. It doesn't really matter. Like that Jesus maybe has some, you know, kind of general thoughts about churches, but not really specific thoughts about specific churches. I mean, isn't that interesting? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But to think, all right, I'm the pastor of Faith Bible Church. Jesus, the Lord of glory, knows about Faith Bible Church. Okay? I mean, that's obvious, right? He knows everything. God knows everything. Omniscient, right? That's one of his attributes of God. But Jesus not only knows about everything going on in our church, he has opinions about everything going on in our church. Wow, that's a sobering thought. And again, maybe you go, Dr. Kreutz, this is pretty obvious. Hello. But I think it's profound. And I'm suspicious a lot of people don't consider such things. I mean, what if you're going to a church that Jesus knows all about and doesn't like it at all? Wow. Wow. Okay. huh, does that mean that he has an opinion about whether I should be there or not? Ooh, wow. We may be meddling pretty soon here. But we don't have to guess these things, right? We can look at the book, look at the Bible, and find out that, yes, Jesus has opinions about this. And yes, he gives report card grades to churches. And we just have to make sure we're using the same criteria that the Lord is using as we evaluate churches. I mean, as we look at the churches of Revelation 2 and 3, like Dr. Mayhew did in that book, we can easily find some things that are very consistent in these letters to seven real churches and come straight from Jesus. And because they're part of the inspired scripture, I think we have every reason to believe that this represents what Jesus thinks about churches all across the ages, not just those specific seven. In other words, we can help identify what the Lord's criterion for grading churches really are. Okay, I have to say that once again, we're going to find that it's not going to be about whether the church has a great kids program. It's not going to be Jesus saying, Faith Bible Church, I know your works. And because you have this radical student adventure ministry, you are fantastic. No, it doesn't say that about any of the churches. It doesn't speak about their huge musical productions. It doesn't speak about having clean restrooms in your church. It doesn't speak about the huge parking lot. Okay, can you just imagine the Lord saying, yes, I am the one who was the first and the last, who died, who came to life. And I think your church is great, but I have this against you. There's a giant pothole in what's supposed to be the visitor parking space, and you don't have enough parking spaces. Therefore, go fix your parking lot, or I will bring judgment. No, it doesn't say that. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, even as you think about what Jesus does talk about, that he would talk about any of those things. And I point those things out once again because they are the preeminent criteria that people judge churches by. And even church growth gurus write whole books saying, you better get this right or your church is going to be a dud. Well, listen, you may get a dud grade from the church growth gurus or the people who like those kinds of churches. You may get a failing grade. You may get a C-. But if the Lord gives you an A, have you not completely succeeded, not only for this life, but also for the life to come? Absolutely. So let's once again go back to the book. And now, instead of the pastoral epistles, which we've considered, let's look at these churches, the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. And I'm going to just pull out a few nuggets that show up in multiple places in these letters so that we can kind of, again, evaluate what the Lord thinks about churches. All right, first, there is a big view of Jesus. Now, this is because this is the way Jesus addresses each of these churches. But I want you to consider the very words of Scripture. Okay, Revelation 2:1, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. In verse 8, and to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the words of the first and the last who died and came to life. Verse 12 of Revelation 2, and to the angel of the church in Pergamum write, the words of him who has the sharp two-edged sword. Verse 18, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, whose feet are like burnished bronze. And then into chapter 3, in verse 1, and to the angel of the church in Sardis write, the words of him who has the seven stars of God the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Revelation 3:7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. And verse 14, and to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. Now, you remember in Revelation chapter 1, John sees Jesus in this incredible vision and falls at his feet like a dead man. And many of those descriptions go directly into the addresses of these letters to the seven churches. But we just want to consider what this means. You know, what grade does your church get on how big of a view of the Lord Jesus it has? How does Jesus show up? Is Jesus huge in your church? Or is Jesus assumed in your church? I'm not saying, does he not make appearances or is not mentioned, but is he mentioned reverently? Is he mentioned huge? When the word of God is proclaimed, is this that sense of awe that this is a message from the Lord Jesus himself? I mean, that's the point, right? That's why he addressed the churches in the way that he did. He wanted them to be reminded of who was doing the letter writing here, right? I mean, from Jesus, obviously, through John to the messenger or the angel there of each of the churches, but it was a message from King Jesus Christ. And there's a big difference in churches in terms of their view of Jesus. And you can also tell when it's just lip service or when it's a heartfelt, big view of the Lord Jesus. That is one you want to go for the A+ on in your church. Now we have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to consider some more of the criteria for the church report card from Jesus himself to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Kratz in just a moment. You know, Jesus has opinions about your church. Dr. Kratz has been working through Revelation 2 and 3, where Jesus grades seven churches on specific criteria. So the question that needs to really be considered and thought through is, does your church have a big view of Jesus or just assume him? And I'm telling you this from experience. You can tell exactly which view of Jesus a church has by just listening to about 10 minutes of the preaching. And along those same lines, I also urge you to listen to 10 minutes of the teaching that you'll find on Fortis Plus and ask that same question. Fortis Plus is available right now wherever you download apps on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or you can go to fortisplus.org, and it is available to you absolutely free of charge. Why or how? Well, both of those questions are answered the same way, because of our gospel partners. These are men and women just like you who have been impacted by the teaching they've heard here at Fortis Institute, so much so that they decided they wanted to stand with us to make sure we can make more content and get that content into the hands of more people in more places all over the world. And so I ask, if you have been impacted by anything you've heard here at Fortis Institute over the years and you would like to stand with us, well, we would be honored and grateful. Now, I know you've got questions, and we have answers available right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. John Kratz. This is Integrated.
Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now, back to your host, Dr. John Kratz.
Welcome back. We are considering the church report card straight from Jesus from the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, looking at what Jesus thought about those churches to kind of figure out what Jesus thinks about our church as well. Well, I hope you've taken the time to give a rating and review to Integrated. It's such a blessing to us and to get the word out about our ministry. Fortis Plus has all kinds of great podcasts as well. Have you checked out Thrive with Brad Bigney? It's about taking God's word and applying it directly to your marriage. Oh boy, that is good stuff. Brad is a seasoned pastor as well as a biblical counselor, and he does such a great job. And Brad will honestly admit that he has blown it in most of these areas, and these are life lessons learned the hard way. But wow, I have appreciated that podcast, and I know you will as well. But when you listen, if you could pass along the episodes that you have benefited from to friends, that really does help to spread the word, and we so appreciate it. Well, we've considered our first criteria today of the church report card. Does your church have a big view of the Lord Jesus Christ? Another standard by which you and your church will be graded is, how do you do with your good works? Good works. Well, we don't want to be about good works in order to earn our salvation. No, of course not. We are saved by the work of Jesus alone. It is by faith alone, in Christ alone, Christ's work alone. We trust in Him. Our salvation is purely by grace alone. However, when we have trusted in Christ, we then ought to be all about good works. Well, is your church all about good works? Again, not to earn your salvation, but because that you are genuine Christians, are you happy servants? Are you spreading the love of Jesus and treating each other out of the overflow of how the Lord has treated you? All right. Is it really that big of a deal? All right. Yeah. Look, Revelation 2:2, Church of Ephesus. First thing Jesus says after he introduces himself, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance. Okay. All right. He knows all about it. Maybe that was an exception. Now, let's go to Smyrna. In chapter 2, verse 8, he's addressing the church of Smyrna. And he says, I know your tribulations and your poverty, but you are rich. And the slander, right? So they're being slandered. They're doing all of those things. But then he calls them to be faithful until death and get the crown of life. Okay, in this specific case, I think that Jesus is mostly concerned about their perseverance, which is going to show up again. But let's keep going. Let's slide down to verse 19. Verse 19, Church of Thyatira, I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceeded the first. So Jesus doesn't just know that your church is about good works. He knows the details. He knows the quantities. And he keeps record of last year's good works versus this year's good works. And he knows that in Thyatira's case, that your latter works exceeded the first. Go to chapter 3, verse 2. Now we are in the church of Sardis. He actually starts at the middle of verse 1. I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember what you received and heard, keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Okay, here again, Jesus knows the quantity and the quality of your good works. And if they are incomplete, Jesus has some thoughts, right? He's going to come. He's going to address those. You're going to need to repent of your weak good works. All right, let's keep going. Chapter 3, verse 8. We are now at the church in Philadelphia. Again, first thing Jesus says, I know your works. That's just amazing. The very first thing out of his mouth. Even the church at Laodicea in verse 15, first thing,
I know your works. You are neither hot, neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Okay, so what is this about works? Why is this such a big deal? And churches need each other. We depend on each other. It's not enough just to believe in Jesus and then say, us four, no more, close the door. No, you are put on the team. And the team is called by God to grow, to be a servant to each other and to take care of each other. Yes, we do good works and show acts of the love of Christ to unbelievers in our community. That's a great thing when the Lord gives us opportunity. But we had better prioritize taking care of each other in the body of Christ. Listen, at the end of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10, as he is calling this church to remember where they were and not fall away, right? They were under big time persecution and they were being tempted to walk away from the Lord to try to escape from persecution. And the author of Hebrews says in chapter 10, verse 32, but recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For if you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you know that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance. Okay, you can just stop there. And you can just see, as these guys were being tempted to forsake the gathering of the church, as it says earlier in Hebrews chapter 10, they were also tempted not to help the people who were already in hot water. Don't go visit that guy in prison. Don't go bring some essentials that he needs because you will be associated with him. And then your life and your danger will also, your life and your family will also be endangered. Maybe you will lose your job. Well, basically what the author of Hebrews is saying, hey, listen, when the heat first started turning up, you guys were all about helping each other. You were all about good works. That's what a faithful church is, that we serve one another. We meet one another's needs. We have the overflow of the love of Jesus towards each other. Well, I told you that the author of Hebrews called the Hebrew Christians to endurance. That's also huge in Revelation. That these churches, the Lord, when the trials came, because the first century church was filled with trials and troubles, he called them again and again to perseverance. Hang in there. Do not quit. Do not give up. He says to the church in Ephesus in 2:2 of Revelation, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance. In chapter 2, verse 7, at the end of this, the message to the church of Ephesus, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. In other words, hang in there, conquer, persevere to the end. He tells the church in Smyrna, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you're rich. The slander of those who say that they are Jews, but are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Hang in there. In fact, later he says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He talks about it again in the church of Pergamum, Thyatira. It comes up again in Sardis, okay, verse 6 of chapter 3. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Listen, hang in there. Don't quit. Philadelphia, verse 2. because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world. Listen, Jesus knows about your church. He cares about your church, and he is going to give your church a grade. Okay, what grade are you getting? And what grade are you getting on these vital attributes? A big view of Jesus, lots of good works, and spiritual endurance. Don't just hear God's word, go do God's word and influence your church to do the right things in the right ways because Jesus has an opinion.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreintz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreintz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.